Live from the HananiahAutos.com studio, this is Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express. Jaguars Thursday. J.P. Shadrick, along with former Jaguars Jeff Loggeman and Tony Baselli, provide the latest Jaguars news and what's happening around the NFL. Brought to you by Baptist Health and by Everbank. Jaguars Thursday begins right now.
Here we go from the HananiahAutos.com studio at Everbank Field. Jaguars Thursday. J.P. Shadrick, Tony Baselli, Jeff Loggeman after the Gus Bradley radio show. What's up, Logs?
What's up, J.P.? Man?
How are you doing?
Man, I'm doing good. Catching a breath a little bit this week, you know?
I think everybody is. It has been a busy week around Everbank Field, though, with the end-of-season press conferences from Dave Caldwell and head coach Gus Bradley. Bob Babbage, of course, let go as defensive coordinator, and now the search is on for that. The announcements today of Allen Robinson headed into the Pro Bowl, and the Jags are, for the third straight year, going to Mobile, Alabama. So a lot going on this week for
you'd like to not be going to Mobile, because that means that you'd be in the playoffs or whatever. But that's all right. I mean, if you're gonna be there anyway, you might as well be there to get the most out of it.
And that's what Gus said on his program just a little while ago. Bo, what's up, man?
What is going on?
Haven't seen you in days.
I know. It's been so long.
I've missed you.
Like less than 24 hours.
That's true. Actually, I saw you yesterday. Yeah, it's good to see you again.
Yeah, I was hanging around, then hung around longer for the little lunch.
Yeah, free lunch. Never hurt Baselli.
Came by for 5 minutes, ended up being here for 4 hours.
That's the way it works.
We're going to wait around to lunch.
You know, this is we were talking about the week, the first week after the season. It was supposed to be a down week, but it didn't seem like that around here. A lot going on with the end-of-season press conferences, the change in the defensive coordinator, and the search that brings. Always, you know, everybody's interviewing. I mean, apparently Doug Marrone's interviewing for a few head coaching jobs. You got front office folks who might
be surprised if Doug Marrone didn't get a head job.
He was in Cleveland today.
Yeah, but you know what? The Cleveland Browns, I'm sorry, but they hadn't even started the interview process and they already screwed up.
In what way?
Well, I mean, they named Sashi Brown and they gave him a title.
Executive Vice President of Football Operations. Football Operations. In charge of the 53-man roster.
The former general counsel here.
How do you go from general counsel to being the final say on a 53-man roster when you have no experience in evaluating personnel? Can somebody fill me in on that? I like Sashi. I know Sashi. I would tell Sashi the same thing. How did you get that responsibility, or are you actually going to exercise that right and do that job that you're not qualified to do?
Reading everything. And, you know,
that kills that job as being attractive.
Well, I'm not sure it does, because if you read what they're going to do, that's Saucy's job. They've also brought in some, you know, the guy, you know, the math guy from Moneyball that used to be with the Oakland A's and then has been a number of years with the Mets.
Paul DePodesta.
Yeah. DePodesta is the chief strategy officer who only answers to the owner and the president. So him, it's going to be a team effort. It's going to be him, who's not a football guy, but he's an analytic guy. It's going to be Sashi Brown, and then they're going to hire a vice president of personnel who will be overall scouting.
But not a general manager, which means that the pool of candidates that you can pick from are going to be limited, because that's a lateral move in a lot of situations.
As far as a G, yeah, you can't, you
If you're not going to give somebody the right to control the roster and be the true GM in Cleveland, you're limited.
Yeah, they can block personnel guys from making a lateral move. That's right. So that will limit it in that sense. But I don't think Sashi's going to become a scout all of a sudden. I mean, I think it's going to be a group effort of evaluating.
Yeah, but here's the problem, Tony.
Yes,
he has that ability.
No, I agree. I understand that. So, and then I think the coach will have a big say in that as well. So we'll see. Listen, it's outside the box. It's different. It hasn't worked what they've done to date, and I think they've pretty much completely cleaned house.
We'll go around the rest of the vacancies in the NFL, including a little bit of a surprise last night the road.
How about a huge surprise?
Tampa.
Big surprise.
We'll get to that coming up. Let's get to the Jaguars first, though. Defensive coordinator opening. Bob Babbage is out. there are options here, of course. Gus Bradley calling plays, promote from within, hire from outside. What are the odds right now, you think?
That's interesting.
50-50.
Yeah.
Thanks, Tony.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's a coin toss. I think my guess is Gus doesn't know right now.
Yeah, I asked Gus the question, I mean, because he's on a one-year contract. You know, that's got to be somewhat of a limitation for making that job attractive to somebody else that's coming in. And here's the reason why. Are you going to hire a defensive coordinator that comes in on a three-year contract? Can that even happen?
Well, it can happen, but the owner has to basically say that if it doesn't work out and we make a change at the top, then I'm going to be eating those 2 years possibly.
Yeah, and that's
a lot of money.
That's a lot of money to eat from those.
What's a DC make?
Anywhere from
million to 2 million.
No, it could be 700 to 2.5 million.
Okay. I would be shocked, Jeff, if there's any DCs not making $1 million.
Yeah, no. Probably so. I'm sure there's.
I mean, top position group coaches are making close to $1 million now. I mean, top-end guys.
I'm sure, but there's not many up in that category, though.
They're making a lot of money.
Yeah.
A DC, I mean.
But to me, that's interesting in that, you know, you got the head coach who's looking for a coordinator. The head coach is on a one-year contract. Who are you going to be able to attract? And I know Gus said that, you know, his phone has been busy.
Sure.
But, you know, there's a lot of people that, you know, are looking for work. Because there's 8 openings in the National Football League, and you're going to put your feelers out everywhere if you're looking for work. So that's going to be an interesting solution there of what eventually is going to happen. And, you know, the candidates from within, I would think that Todd Walsh would be, if there is any candidate from within, that it would be Todd Walsh.
Jeff, isn't he probably the only one, would you guess?
I think he's the only one, and he's got the title that also – would indicate that he has great respect. He's the run game coordinator on defense.
He did pretty good against the run this year,
too. And he's very well respected. Yeah. He has been with Gus in that system for a long time. And here's the thing. If Gus doesn't promote him, what's the chances of Todd taking a job elsewhere? And that's why I asked the question.
But they don't have to let him.
They don't have to let.
That's right.
But here, you
can block. But why would you block?
That's the problem. See, you have the right to block. But if you exercise that right, what kind of
message?
Well, it's not even about the message. What about the chemistry
relationship.
And the relationship that's, you know, supposed to go ahead? I mean, we're talking Todd and Gus or friends all the way back from North Dakota State. You know, if I'm Todd Walsh and I got an opportunity to be a coordinator, I don't have that coordinator opportunity here. If you get it blocked and you're finally getting your opportunity from somewhere else, what are you going to be?
So,
you're going to be ticked off.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You think?
Yeah. And now I could see
an opportunity to make that jump in pay from a positional coach to a coordinator making a mil plus.
It's a lot of money.
Yeah.
If you're building a staff that maybe like first year, right, after the first season you're trying to build a foundation, it would make a little more sense to block then, right, to keep everybody intact going into year two? Is that more likely?
Well, listen, here's the deal.
Or does it matter?
I think it matters. I think every situation's unique. And let's take it away from Jacksonville. But if you're a coach anywhere and you are coaching for your job, you want the best possible coaches because at the same time you got to think about yourself and the other guys on the staff. And so it's a very tough situation because if you have a coach on your staff who you highly value and everyone's on their last year and he has an opportunity to go somewhere else, I think you have to ask yourself the question, what's best for the group? But you also want to take care of that guy because you have a relationship. It's a tough situation. It's not one I envy anyone. I think there's going to be a lot of tough decisions to be made in the very short term. And, you know, Jeff mentioned the Doug Marrone situation. If he ends up getting a head coach, that opens another position. Now we got to make a decision what we're going to do there as well.
Like when Gus was building the staff here, I guess Pete Carroll could have blocked.
He could have.
Todd,
he could have blocked
Todd
Walsh
over here, right?
Yeah, because it was a lateral move.
Yeah.
Well, even if it would have been a coordinator, can block it because you can block it.
Right.
If it's not a head coach, you can block.
If it's not a head coach, you can block.
Wow.
Hey, before we go to any more coaches, can I say one thing about Bob Babich?
Yes. You can say a lot of things about Bob Babich, actually, but go ahead.
He obviously got fired as a defense coordinator. He's no longer here. Just because you get fired as a coach in the NFL, that does not mean you're a bad coach. A lot of things go into that. And, Jeff, you've been around a long time, as have I, and seen a lot of good coaches get fired and a lot of good coaches that not work out for a lot of different reasons. That is the role when you're the coordinator. If it doesn't work, that's where you go first. And that's part of the role of being the head man of your unit or the head coach. The buck stops with you. And the defense wasn't good enough this year. I think everyone, that's not breaking news. It needed to be better. And after evaluating it, Gus obviously thought that the best way to do it was to make that move at the top, and we'll see where if there's any other dominoes that fall because of it. But and part of me saying it because I really respect Bob Babich as an individual and as a coach. I think he's
we like him.
I think I like him a lot.
Bob's
and I think,
a nice guy.
And I think he's a good football coach, and he will coach in the NFL again, I guarantee you.
Yeah, but he's going to be pretty much relegated to a position.
He'll be a linebacker coach
for the rest of his career.
But he's a very good football coach.
Second time he's lost a coordinator position.
Sometimes it just doesn't work.
Once under Lovey and then here, and he'll have opportunities. I mean, there's – I don't know how many – I mean, even other staffs that have made – I mean, Chuck Pagano's made a lot of changes to his staff.
You know who the rumor that they're gonna he's going to hire is the his new defensive coordinator?
Who?
An old Jaguar linebacker coach.
Mark Duffner?
No.
Ted Monachino? Who's in Baltimore now as a defensive line coach, outside linebacker coach.
Outside linebacker coach.
So, I mean, but it's McCoy out in San Diego's got – he made some changes
offensive
on his staff.
Offensive staff mainly. And a couple defensive
positions.
Couple
defensive guys.
Kept the coordinator in place, John Pagano. Cleaned house on the offensive side.
So, I mean, it's not just eight openings.
Oh, there's a ton of – I mean, there'll be – and here's the
musical
thing,
chairs begin.
They start because some of these coaches on established teams will get coordinators' jobs or head coaches. Their coaches will release some of the guys to take with them and – based on relationships and everything else. So that'll open jobs at some really good, successful teams as well.
And then there's always the teams that are in the postseason right now that
those are the guys I'm talking about.
Right, yeah,
I mean,
sure.
You look at Cincinnati, both coordinators are interviewing for head coaching jobs.
What is the highest number of openings in the National Football League at the conclusion of a season? Because, I mean, we're looking at
seven right now.
That's 25%.
No, seven right now.
Seven?
Yep.
Yeah, seven, because the Colts didn't open.
Colts never opened. It's seven right now.
Bucks, Giants, Dolphins, Niners, Titans, Eagles, Browns.
I believe it was seven last year as well, and maybe eight the year before.
Okay.
I don't know the record. But
I don't either.
It's got to be around that, right? Eight or nine is probably the record, I'm guessing.
The turnover in the NFL has basically been 25% a year the last 3 years.
It's crazy. And it wasn't like that how long ago, was it? That's changed
this,
recently.
Our
right?
society, our sports society, the culture of what people expect is now. It's for coaches. It's for players. There was a day that when you were a rookie, before free agency really came around, that you were thought to have 2 or 3 years, maybe 4 years to develop to become a starter. No more. The expectation is not only to be a starter now, but if you're a top-round pick, you better be really good now. And if you're a coach, the situation, the rebuild that went on here, what Shaw did over the last three years, now going fourth year, is rare in today's NFL to give a GM and a coach a chance to build it the way they believe is best to win.
When we come back, a look at a couple of the breaking news items today around the Jaguars, Allen Robinson to the Pro Bowl, and the Jags coaching in Mobile in the Senior Bowl. This is Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express, continues right now.
This portion of Jaguars Thursday is brought to you by your Southern Ford dealers. J.P. Shadrick, Jeff Lagerman, Tony Vaselli. Jaguars Thursday continues. The week after the season. Some news items today for the Jags. Allen Robinson headed to the Pro Bowl. It's been a couple years since the Jags have had a Pro Bowler. Paul Posluszny was an alternate linebacker a couple years ago, 2013.
Allen Robinson is the best player on this team since Maurice Jones-Drew won the rushing title.
Yeah.
It's 2011, right?
He's the best player on this team.
Yeah, he's a tremendous year.
80 catches, exactly 1,400 yards, 14 touchdowns. That touchdown total was tied for the league lead this year.
Yeah,
it's been a long time since 2011 where you would say the Jaguars have arguably a top five player at his position. Now, I know it's close in that five.
Yeah,
but you know what I
debatable,
mean.
Debatable, but yeah. But I mean, have a conversation about it.
He's in the conversation of, you know, I mean, receivers, there's 48 good receivers. I mean, because everyone's playing three wides now. I mean, he is in the upper echelon of receivers in this league. Now, is he the top guys where, you know, you talk about the A.J. Greens and the Julio Jones? No, not yet. But you compare his numbers over the first few years of his career to all those guys.
They're there.
He's right there.
Yeah, not as far as from, like, total yardage, but as far as –
Oh, no, the total yardage is, it's not the catches, because his yards per catch is so high.
It's so high.
17 and a half
yards
a catch.
His yards are there. His touchdowns are there. His catches are not.
It's amazing. I mean, talking about a second-round pick, I don't know.
I'll
he was picked after Marquise Lee.
I'll give Jeff the credit. I hate saying this because I don't like giving Jeff any credit because he's wrong most of the time, and he owes me dinner, by the way.
I do. Really?
Yes, because we had a – wager at the beginning of the year about Jared Odrick.
Right.
He said he would have six or more sacks, and I said he'd have under six.
And he had five and a half.
Five and a half. So we'll be going to Ruth Chris, and I look forward to it.
Isn't that terrible?
You better get that in quick.
No, we're going to do it after.
Okay. When he got hurt in New Orleans, I was like, gummit. Man, and then he got close in Houston.
He got a half.
He got a half, right? He got a half.
And he was.
And then there was a little half rollout where he got flushed with a game, and he's like it right in Brian Hoyer's face. Soon as ball's thrown, I'm going, come on!
Logman had his cheerleading outfit on, cheering for Otter. He had an Otter jersey.
I did.
Medium rare on the mind.
But what I was going back to, Jeff said it after, I don't know if it was the OTAs.
After the college film.
No, I think – But I think it was your definitive – it was either after OTAs or training camp, and he said Allen Robinson will be a much – he'll be a better receiver. He'll be the number one before Marquise Lee is, basically. Mm-hmm. I mean, he said, we talked about it at length. And I questioned him at the point because of the wow factor and my bias towards SC of Marquise Lee. But Jeff's is out – I mean, and I had questions even last year. He had a very good rookie year, don't get me wrong. But the one thing, and Jeff and I agreed on this, is he wasn't great at high-pointing the ball last year.
Mm-mm.
He wasn't – I mean, he was such a big guy. And it
wasn't good at high-point, wasn't good at keeping his feet and then making the catch and then continuing along with the play.
Yeah, he'd jump and fall. Mm-hmm. The work he put in offseason, he was a stud this year. And he is – I didn't know coming in the year. Do we have a number one receiver on this roster? I wasn't sure. And that's why everyone said you have to go get the kid from Green
Randall
Bay.
Randall Cobb,
because we needed a number one guy. Randall Robbins is better than Randall Cobb. He's a better player than Randall Cobb
Not even close.
And he's a bona fide number one receiver. And it's great – we have a quarterback that if he continues to progress is a franchise quarterback. And we have a young receiver. If he continues – he's already a number one now, but has a chance to be an elite receiver in this league. That's a good position to be in. In today's NFL, the way it's played.
How do you know that he's a number one wide receiver? Look at the way the opponents treated him over the last 3 weeks of the season.
You want to know the other way I know he's number one? Talking to one of my good friends who's the defensive coordinator for the Washington Redskins. And defensive coordinators talk, and they watch film, and they watch opponents.
Oh, yeah.
And he said, my goodness, what's going on with your guy down there, Allen Robinson? I mean, this is a guy who's coaching the playoffs this week. And you talk, and you watch the coverage and what they did. I take my hat off because he's one of the hardest working guys, too.
That's the key. And I think that's what watching his college tape and the reason I came with that opinion without him ever playing in the game is that there was a couple things. One, the consistency that he showed at Penn State, which was unbelievable. And I remember making the statement, too, that it was that draft class, because I watched all the tape on the top receivers, which was like Mike Evans, Sammy Watkins, and those guys. And I said, and you might remember this, I said that, Allen Robinson runs the quick screen better than Sammy Watkins.
Well, the other thing, Jeff should be – you know what Jeff should do? He should quit radio, and he should become a scout of wide receivers because he's wrong about everything else. The other thing he said was Mike Evans would be way better than Sammy Watkins.
Yeah, I did say that.
So whatever he's a wide receiver whisperer, whatever he's got going, I mean.
Jerry Sullivan, you know, has just been rubbing off on
rubbing
me,
off
you
on
know?
You.
But it's been, you know, Allen Robinson, here's the other thing, too, that, and I mentioned this on Gus's show. He broke his foot last year. Broke his foot.
Yeah, stress fracture, yeah. Sure.
Wasn't able to even.
I think he had to have surgery too. I mean,
yeah, he had surgery because he was in a boot for like
after London, yeah.
Like multiple months, mm-hmm. And then wasn't even able to play and work out, etc., with the team and stuff until it was very late in
late
the off season.
OTAs.
It was like mini camp or right before mini camp, mandatory mini camp.
I thought it was Gus said end of May on the show. I thought it was beginning of June, but
well,
I mean,
June was the mandatory mini camp.
That's what I thought.
Yeah,
he
so it was right before that he starts back. And when he came back, I mean, it was like, okay, here we go. Mm-hmm. And he was, you know, competing in practice. He had no hesitancy whatsoever in the way he practiced, the way he played.
The way he attacks the ball is what's so impressive.
And, you know, it's not very common that you find young wide receivers that are one, both of, or the whole group as a whole, are coachable. And then number two, that are extremely
what,
hard
they're
workers.
Divas usually?
Yeah, I mean that's the position group that can be kind of high maintenance, but you've
don't
got
we know? Yes.
You've got the top two wide receivers here, hardworking, dedicated, competitive, and they have talent.
There's this kind of notion.
One more thing about the receiver, sorry.
Yeah,
because that made me think of what he said.
I was going to follow up on Allen also, but go
yeah,
ahead.
I laugh. We sat here 2 years ago, and we didn't have a receiver who could play dead. Outside of Justin Blackmon, who was suspended.
Right.
And we all looked at each other as like, they got to fix that, and they committed to doing it. They got very fortunate or great scouting, whatever you want to say, with Allen Hurns. And now they have Rashad Greene. They have, in my opinion right now, Marquise is your fourth receiver, probably.
Yep.
Not that he can't move up because of his – I mean, not that he's not going to be a major part. I mean,
he's a package guy.
He is an amazing talent when he gets his hands on the ball and what he can do. But Rashad Greene is going to be a really good slot receiver. Your one and two are two big guys. It is a position of strength. It's young, and it's not where it needs to be yet. But on a young roster, it's a position of strength.
And let me add this about Allen Hurns. When
yes.
we talk about Allen Robinson coming back from the broken foot to accomplish what he did – Allen Hurns played with a sports hernia, I think, the entire year. The entire year.
Absolutely.
Well, they'll never play say that because they didn't report it the entire year.
Well, but for the trouble. Most part, I mean, yes. It was.
No, I'm with you. I think you're right.
For the most part, though, they did have, you know.
It was on the report. Groin or
groin,
thigh,
whatever
it
was.
Yes.
Thigh, you know, same kind of thing. But, I mean, we're talking about a guy who performed at a level where he's over 1,000 yards. He has 10 touchdown catches, and he did it all with a sports hernia.
You know, Jeff, watching the tape, I think you could tell at the end of the year it was getting worse.
He
wasn't running with the same velocity that he did early.
You know what? I wouldn't run
with still
the same
ran
velocity
with,
either.
He still ran with the same position, though.
No, he was still tough. I mean, I mean, you could tell. You just tell he didn't have the same snap.
Allen Robinson, though, there's this notion that he doesn't have – the great game-breaking speed that a Marquise Lee has.
Well,
yet you see him on the 90-yard score in New Orleans. I mean, obviously, outrun everybody.
Well, Brandon Browner can't run, but
okay. That aside, what does that mean? The difference in speed of Lee, is it more route running with Allen? How does it work?
It's two different kinds of speed. Marquise Lee has
electric
top high-end speed that he still doesn't know how to use, because you watch him run the go route, he doesn't go full speed the whole time, and that's part of the problem. And he's got to learn to go the same consistent speed all the time. But he can start and stop and then start again. I mean, it's freakish. Allen Robinson is more of a long strider speed. He is not that – he can make guys miss, and we've seen it. But he's not that guy that you're going to run the reverses with as much, and the start and stop and, you know – little option routes in the middle of the field, and he has speed going deep, and you saw that, and you saw it against Houston when he, on the scramble play, a little dump, and he started running away from the defense, and someone dove and just got a shoelace. I mean, he has very good speed. Is it elite speed?
No.
No. But I'm not sure Dez Bryant has elite speed. But as big as they are, they have really good speed. Mm-hmm. You know, Marquise Lee is just a – has a different gear.
Totally different gear. And here's the best part with him. Okay? If he's going to play, he's got to compete, and he's got to be there. You know, I mean, that's the best situation to have when you got a guy like that.
I think Marquise Lee is going to have a really good year.
He's got to fight. He's got to fight to get
and that's
to
why
his time.
I think he's
and he's a fighter.
Perfect
he
situation
is a
to have.
He is and he's grown up a lot this year. You can tell he's matured. It's going to be a fun year next year because you're going to have four guys competing for time. And I think Marquise Lee's going to have a – I don't know, numbers-wise, I think he's going to have a very impactful year next year.
You want to put a stake on some numbers?
No, because I don't know where he's in. I'm not ready to
say. No talent.
Yeah. But he's going to have an impactful year. How about that?
That's fair. We'll come back in a moment. Coaching carousel around the National Football League, including a change in New York with the Giants. Tom Coughlin is out. We'll also take a look at some of the past draft picks of the Jags coming out of the Senior Bowl. Jags will be in Mobile again. This is Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiahAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express, continues right now.
Republic Services is the undisputed leader in recycling in Northeast Florida. The official waste provider of the Jags, proudly serving the residents and businesses of Northeast Florida for over 30 years. Call Republic Services for all of your waste and recycling solutions, and they will take it from here. Jaguars Thursday continues. JP Shadrick with Jeff Loggum and Tony Vaselli. Jags are heading to Mobile to coach the Senior Bowl a third straight year. You brought it up with Gus in the last show, the Gus Bradley show, Jeff, about some of the draft picks and players that the Jaguars have had from Mobile, and they come from both sides. You get, of course, most of the time with the team you're coaching, but there is a day where you flip and get to talk to the other team as well, so the Jags have done pretty well the last couple of years.
Yeah, here's the list. Thank you, JP, for compiling it. Aaron Colvin, and these are all 14.
Yeah, and Colvin's the guy that tore his knee on the first day of practice. Yes.
So what
he was a first rounder going into the Senior Bowl, yes, and then ended up being a fourth, I believe.
That was fourth rounder.
Chris Smith, which really hasn't provided anything for the Jaguars,
but a draft pick, and he's the guy that actually that doused Gus with the water bucket at the Senior Bowl.
Telvin Smith, great pick, great
fifth rounder starter.
Brandon
probably
Linder,
the best player on your defense right now.
Brandon Linder,
yep,
excellent. He actually played on the other squad.
The other team, yep.
And then last year, Nick Marshall, quarterback/cornerback. Hayes Pollard, who they did not draft, but they signed off of
I don't know
if he was waivers or off of practice squad.
I thought it was a practice squad. Miami, maybe?
It might have been a practice squad. And then Ben Koyak, who was a seventh rounder, he played on the North squad.
What about mentioned Hayes Pollard?
Yeah.
I think – you know what I think? I think he could be a Mike linebacker.
Middlebacker.
Yep. And he,
two-down middlebacker.
I'll tell you what, between the tackles, Jeff, I don't know about you, but watching the tape –
did you watch the hit that he
yes!
put
yes! Oh my
on Dwayne Brown?
Yes.
That Dwayne Brown tore his quadriceps and tendon on?
You've got Film Room Friday coming up on Jaguars.com where you break that down.
It was one of the hardest hits I've ever seen a linebacker put on a pulling offensive lineman.
Got it for Film Room Friday, JP.
Yep.
As
that's
you
tomorrow.
Just said, that's tomorrow on Jaguars.
But it wasn't just that play. You watch a couple plays he made between the tackles, even
he can
against
hit.
Houston.
He can hit. He's got a neck about 2-3 inches long.
22 inches.
It's got to be.
It's huge.
I mean, he's got the biggest neck you've ever
he's
seen
one
on
muscle.
A human being.
Bigger than Pa's neck?
Yes.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
It's not even close.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not even close. And he's got a pretty good-sized melon. So, I mean, you know, if you've got a pretty good-sized melon – and you can notice how big somebody's neck is.
And you're not afraid to hit anybody? Actually, you enjoy hitting people?
What was your neck size when you played, Logs?
I don't know. Probably. I mean, the only thing I can think of is my shirt size, maybe 18 and a half.
Yeah.
You know?
The same for you?
I think my the biggest was, I think my, it was a 20, my shirt size. That's I think a 20. Mm-hmm.
Shirt collar.
Yeah,
collar
20, maybe 20 and a half.
I was 18 and a half, 19, somewhere right in there. Yeah. You know?
16 and a half right now.
But
you're fat.
Yeah, well, I was 17 and a half, and I lost all the weight. Now I'm 16 and a half.
Creeping back up to 19.
You know what?
I've noticed you not be able to button up the top button lately.
Yeah, it's a golf shirt. Anyway, coaching carousel in the National Football League. 7 vacancies. The surprise last night, Lovie Smith out in Tampa Bay, apparently over a phone call that was supposed to set up a meeting for the next day. Well, Lovie Smith was like, hey, what's the meeting about? What's going on here? And they finally talked it out. And he said, hey, we don't need a meeting. So fired last night. Lovie Smith out.
Is that what happened?
That was the story. Yeah, they called
them to set the meeting up. Lovie sniffed it out. And they told him, we're going to fire you. And he said, well, there's no reason to meet them.
No, there's not.
Right.
I mean, that doesn't – why? I mean, if you're going to do that, well, don't call them up and say, let's have a meeting tomorrow at 1 o'clock. You need to be in the office. Yeah. Just call him, go see him or something.
Right.
Or while he's there, make that decision. And that makes that whole situation – it makes the situation with Dirk Cutter look – it makes the organization look bad.
Well, the rumor was is that because – the Dolphins requested an interview with Dirk, and I think he might have even took the interview, that they were afraid they were going to lose Dirk and the relationship with him and Jameis and what they did offensively and the progression he made. They didn't want to lose Dirk, and so they fired Lovie.
Does that make sense, though?
Well, it's not the way you manage an organization, first of all. Was it Light, their GM,
mm-hmm.
Came out today and said that had nothing to do with it, that winning 8 games in 2 years isn't enough. And he had plenty of time, which is asinine, based on what he took over.
Right.
And a rookie quarterback this year. And in fact, they are 6-6. And they did lose the last 4, but a lot of young players. So, you know, listen. We talked about it. I don't know if we said on the air or on break. It's the way the league is now. Very few teams have any vision or plan. Long-term plan of what they want to be and want to do. And everyone wants to make a decision, but wants it to happen overnight.
I mean, Lovie, he's having a tough go of it now.
He got fired after being 10-6.
I don't get 10-win season in Chicago.
Yeah, I don't get that.
Went to a Super Bowl.
And the one thing that's consistent with Lovie, the players in Chicago were livid that he got fired.
Yeah.
10-6, and the players in Tampa are livid.
I don't get that. I really don't. Yeah. I mean, you got a coach who has done a good job, and he won in Chicago, took that team to the Super Bowl. Did he have a franchise quarterback?
No, it was Rex Grossman.
Yeah, no. And he's just gets a, you know, quote-unquote possible franchise quarterback in Jameis Winston and wins 6 games with a rookie at quarterback. It's not like they were getting hammered.
No.
I mean, they were competitive. I don't understand that.
Some of the other openings, the Dolphins. What do you make of that situation?
Well, I mean, listen, I think unless Dan Campbell won a bunch of games, which he did not. Now, they said they're going to interview Dan Campbell and give him a chance, which is the right thing to do. But you knew that was going to be a change. Where they go.
It's not an attractive job.
I mean, I don't know Stephen Ross, the owner. I don't know anything about him, but since he's been owner, it's not a very stable place.
It's not an attractive job because the Miami Dolphins have cap problems. They're going to have to redo every year Ndamukong Suh. They have to. They have to keep him, and they have to redo him every year. That's not a situation that's attractive if you're a coach walking in the door.
It's attractive if you're Ndamukong Suh.
Yeah, dang right it is.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's a guaranteed contract.
I mean, that's you know,
Eddie, what, got $60 million cash or something?
Here's the thing that I don't understand is that Mike Tannenbaum ran the Jets into cap prison.
And then John
Idzik bailed it out
and then gets fired.
Okay? And now they
this
hired
league's crazy.
Mike Tannenbaum down in Miami, and now where are they at? The same Trouble. Spot that Mike Tannenbaum put the Jets in.
Maybe John Idzik's going to get the GM job down there to fix it.
Probably will, and he'll get fired after a couple years after he does.
49ers, Tom Sula's out after a year. See that one?
Did you hear about the tweet by Jim Harbaugh?
No. Oh, he kind of trolled him a little bit, didn't he?
What did he say?
He said something about to the effect of what comes around goes around, or those that you reap what you sow, or something like that, because, you know, it was rumored that
he undercut him.
That he undercut him while, you know, Tom Sula was on his staff in San Francisco. Thought that was interesting. But Jim Tomsula is walking away with a $14 million door prize.
That's not bad.
I don't feel sorry for him.
No.
Tennessee Titans. A couple of things there. Reported that Chris Polian is interviewing for the GM job there.
And hope he gets it.
I think it's either tomorrow or Monday he's interviewing.
Right. And Mike Mularkey could interview as well for the head coaching job.
Well, here's the thing. What's going to happen is, depending on who the GM is, it's going to be similar to what happened here. Gene Smith got fired. Mike Mularkey was still the head coach, allowed Dave Caldwell to come in, make the decision, and then fire the coach if he didn't want to keep him. So whoever the GM is going to be, they'll go in, evaluate it. My guess is we'll move on.
That's got its positive and its negatives. Positive, Marcus Mariota.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
Okay, negatives, ownership question marks. Supposedly there are about four key players
they're
in
all
ownership
fighting for it.
That are, you know, not sure of what they want to do. Some want to keep it. Some want to sell it.
It's not only they don't know what they want to do. The league is saying their ownership structure does not fit under the guidelines of the NFL in that they might be forced to sell if they can't structure it properly.
Yeah, the structure is that you have to have, I think, one
majority
has
owner.
To have 40% of ownership and be the majority
and,
owner.
And say in the direction of the franchise.
Yep.
So that, you know, it'll be interesting. And so it's, I think it is an attractive job from a personnel standpoint. I mean, you got the quarterback.
Yeah.
You got some really good defensive players.
Yeah, and it doesn't, you know, once you get past the quarterback, it doesn't really matter.
Well, I mean, you got impactful defensive
players.
Yeah,
you got some good players, but I don't know if you got any really good young players.
Yeah, you got some pieces.
Well, how old is Darrell Casey? He's not that old.
Yeah, but he's, what, fourth, fifth year? I mean, besides him, what else you got? That are young. Left tackles had a good year.
Left tackle's a good player. I think their backers are solid. They're good players on their backers.
Rapoport's getting up in age.
Yeah, I mean, no. I mean, listen.
It's not bad.
It's not a terrible job. It's not.
But the ownership question mark, that's the biggest thing.
Would you say they have more than the Jags had when Gus and them inherited?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
On defense?
They have a quarterback, and they have more on defense.
A couple other jobs, then we'll get to the Giants. The Eagles, chips out.
It was interesting that the reports came out that Jeffrey Lurie tried to find a way to get John Harbaugh, you know, who is the coach of the Baltimore Ravens. You know, John Harbaugh spent
many
years
special teams coordinator there
in Philadelphia before he got the job in Baltimore. And that's interesting because I guess they're going to go back to the old structure where Howie Roseman
is
back
in charge.
Back in charge again. And so, I mean, it's –
You think Howie looked at Mr. Lurie and said, "Told you."
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But I mean, that's a good job. Yeah, it's a good job. I mean,
no quarterback.
No.
Yeah. You traded all those pieces.
I don't think it's a great job. No quarterback.
It's a good job from the standpoint of that Jeffrey Lurie has been a good owner.
Oh yeah, good leadership at top. But
that's right.
Just not. I don't know how good the personnel is.
Yeah.
I mean, because he got rid of all the good
teams
ones.
Now. Yeah, that's
near the bottom of the league in defense.
It'd probably be better if you had LeSean McCoy, DeSean Jackson,
Sam
Jeremy Maclin. I mean,
pick a quarterback. Right,
go down the list.
We've already talked about the Browns. Good luck, Cleveland. So let's get to the New York Giants. Tom Coughlin is out and resigned is the word, but you can kind of tell he was pushed away there in New York. If you didn't watch the speech the day after the announcement, go back and watch it online. I think they have it on the Giants' website. You guys haven't seen it yet. Fantastic. I think it's about 15 minutes long. Is he going to coach again?
I don't know, but let me say something about him resigning. My guess is how it went down is he knew that that it wasn't going to work, and he probably walked in and said, "All right, I'll walk away."
But you're still going to pay me.
Yeah, I'm sure you got paid. The problem I have in the Tishes and the Maras are great owners. It's a great organization. When Mr. Mara got up there and was questioned by the media why you didn't get rid of Jerry Reese as well. And his answer was, well, Jerry Reese built two Super Bowl teams. And then my immediate question, follow-up question would have been, well, then why did you get rid of the coach that coached those two teams? Tom Coughlin is a great coach. And the problem they had up there was not coaching. It's not a very good roster. They have some fabulous players on offense, a handful. Not very many. They're not great up front on the line.
Offensive line's weak.
They don't have a feature back. Their defense is not very good up front at all. They have a couple okay secondary guys. That's not the job of the head coach in that organization. That is the GM, Jerry Reese. And for Tom to kind of take all the heat, that bothered me a little bit.
Yeah, and what did we see them in the preseason this year?
Yes.
Saw them in a preseason, saw them in a regular season, and we kind of had the same opinion both times that, you know, if the expectations are that Tom needs to take this team to the playoffs, that's probably too much to ask out of looking at them on tape.
Yeah, I mean, Now, did he make – would he have some coaching decisions back in the, that he made in the fourth quarter of games this year? Sure, absolutely. But he's a good football coach, and maybe it was time for him to leave because he'd been there a long time. I'm fine with that. But just the whole way the thing was
– 12 years, right?
Yeah, 12
okay,
years.
Okay, you ask any owner in the National Football League, okay, you're going to hire a guy, you're going to have to give him a 12-year contract, but you're going to be guaranteed two Super Bowls.
Take it tomorrow.
Absolutely.
So I just have a, I have a, just a little bit of a problem how it was put, like he was the it was, that was, it was, the coaching was the problem. Right, I just I don't believe that. And looking at that roster, I don't think it's a great roster.
Get the latest transportation news and information on the award-winning Making Moves TV show. Watch every week on the first Tuesday of the month at 12:30 on Channel 4 and every Thursday after Nightline on ABC 25. We'll pick some playoff games when we come back. It's Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiahAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express, continues right now.
Check out the Hanania Automotive Group. They've got 10 brands, hundreds of vehicles to choose from, and thousands in savings. And this portion of Jaguars Thursday is brought to you by Fanatics.com. JP Shadrick, Jeff Lagerman, Tony Baselli. Playoffs for the National Football League. Wild card weekend, Kansas City at Houston, 4:35 on Saturday on ESPN. Who you got?
Listen, Kansas City's won 10 in a row. They are a really good football team, but Houston has the best defense in the NFL right now. I think Houston shuts them down, and I think Houston wins that ball game, even though and Hoyer's playing good enough right now. I like the Texans.
Yeah, and I think some of the components for Kansas City's defense, they're hurt.
They're beat up.
Yep. So, I'm going to take Houston. J.J. Watt's got the cast off, and he's going off. I mean, that game that he had against the Jaguars was, you look at I mentioned this on the Monday night television show, you know, every week you got a game book that shows you the defensive stats. And every category he had a number in with the exception of one, which was interceptions. And on that first batted ball that he had, he almost picked that one off. Unbelievable.
And Whitney Merciless played pretty well, too.
Both sides.
And they didn't have Jadeveon Clowney, which you know, he's expected healthy. To play this week.
He hasn't played against the Jags.
Can you imagine this? Yeah. Eric Fisher against J.J. Watt. Do you see Eric Fisher winning that battle? No. Do you see Whitney Merciless or Eric Fisher winning that battle?
Whitney Merciless.
Yeah. Going to be a long day for Alex Smith.
8:15, the nightcap is in Cincinnati, the Steelers and the Bengals on CBS.
Cincinnati's going to get hammered, okay? What's that quarterback's name in Cincinnati that went to Alabama?
A.J. McCarron.
Yeah,
you might have
heard of him. Terrible. Pittsburgh and Ben Roethlisberger are going to steamroll him.
I disagree. I think Cincinnati wins the game. Pittsburgh, 2 weeks ago, against an average Baltimore defense, couldn't score. Cincinnati still has one of the best defenses in the NFL, and D'Angelo Williams is still in the boot. Might not have him.
Yeah.
Make them one-dimensional and let that pass rush get after him. Geno Atkins, Carlos Dunlap, both double-digit sacks.
Yep, they're good.
I like the Bengals in a low-scoring game.
Wouldn't that be something if McCarron gets the playoff win, Andy Dalton's on the sideline?
There's a slight chance.
Then what do you do?
Well, there's a slight chance Dalton could be back. The cast is off, but they're not. No one
for this week.
It's off this week.
AJ McCarron has a lollipop arm.
So what did you got?
No, it's, yeah,
so what did you got?
Sure.
I'm just telling. I like the Bengals.
They better run the ball, and I don't think they will against Pittsburgh.
It will be sub-zero temperatures in Minneapolis. The Seahawks and the Minnesota Vikings. Who you got on Sunday?
I like
Seattle's. Playing really
yeah,
well.
I like Seattle. They have the better quarterback. Both teams can run the ball. Both teams have good defenses. Seattle's a little bit better. Teddy Bridgewater, I'm just not sold. He's ready to win at that level. Yet.
No. Marshawn Lynch is supposed to be back.
Yeah.
Games like this, he has a tendency to show up and show up big. I'm taking Seattle.
I'm looking at the weather forecast from Minneapolis, Minnesota. It's 34 degrees right now, but as you look at the 5-day forecast, in Minneapolis, it deteriorates rapidly. And on Sunday, 3 degrees, mostly sunny, though.
And here's the thing, a lot of people are saying, well, Minnesota's used to playing in the cold. They haven't the outdoor rinks in Minnesota, North Dakota area. They're not even they haven't been open yet. I mean, they're just opening up. Yeah, they've been extremely warm.
34 degrees tomorrow with snow showers. 8 degrees Saturday. 3 degrees Sunday with a wind chill around 20 below zero. For
nice.
Time.
And guess what? When it's that cold, it doesn't matter.
No,
it's gonna take
it's
you back.
Cold
to the
for
days,
everybody.
Take you back to the days of Bud Grant.
Mm. Green Bay at Washington, 4:40 start on Fox Sunday.
I'm working that game.
After watching Green Bay, I don't know if they can win.
They're not going to win.
Are you in the booth or on the field?
I'm on the field this week in Washington. Unfortunately, it's going to be raining. I'm not looking forward to that. And then I'll be in the booth in New England the following week. So, listen, the Washington defense is a bunch of no-name guys who blitz and get after pretty good. And they can be really aggressive against Green Bay.
They're kind of feast or famine.
They are. But they can be really aggressive against Green Bay because they have nobody
no
to get
receivers.
Open outside.
They can play everybody man.
Yep, and go just get it. And the offensive line gave up 8 sacks last week for the Green Bay Packers. They're going to be, you know, it's going to – listen, Aaron Rodgers.
Unless Kirk Cousins has a Kirk Cousins moment.
If he throws a lot.
He throws three or four picks,
that's
you
right.
know.
But he hasn't the last 10 weeks.
He's been good.
So I like Washington in that game.
I'm going to take Green Bay just because, you know what, I just can't pick – okay, Kirk Cousins over the man, Aaron Rodgers.
I mean, at some point, Rodgers is in that group's going to get it going, right?
What
been
receiver?
Waiting all year.
Yeah, what receivers? I've done two of their games this year.
They don't have receivers.
It's like watching the tape. Like, nobody's open.
No.
They're beat up front. They're starting left tackle.
And Aaron's not playing well.
And Aaron's not playing like Aaron. I mean, maybe he turns it on and has a freaky game. But Eddie Lacy,
which he's capable
yeah,
of.
Yeah, he is. Eddie Lacy's not playing well this year. I mean, they're just defensively, they're okay.
I'm going with Green Bay, though.
The 5-day forecast for Landover, Maryland. Sunday, 58 degrees, a.m. showers, 80% chance of rain, winds from the southwest at 13 miles an hour for
yeah,
you on the sidelines at FedEx Field.
I'm not looking forward to that. The only good thing
and
about
that lovely turf there, too.
The only good thing about doing the sideline in Washington is I don't have to do that. Be in that crappy booth.
The one that's tucked away in the corner.
Yeah, that you can barely see. And that's the national booth is down there. So it's like, eh, you know what? If I'm going to do a sideline game.
That'd be the one.
That's the one to do.
So there you have it. Those are the games this weekend.
That's is that all of them?
That's all of them, yeah. 4 games, yeah.
Okay.
So.
Wonder if New England is going to win this week. Denver? Yeah, I think they're good. They've already got
I'll put them on the next level.
Yeah.
Against the bye. Yeah. Man.
I think they win. I think they won.
How about that?
What do you
Peyton's going to be the quarterback, right?
That was exactly what I was going to ask. Is that the right move?
It is. Go with the guy who's been there
How
before.
Much pressure is that for Peyton Manning, though?
I mean, that's the story of the postseason.
But he's been
it, that is the game to watch next week.
But he's been there.
I know. Yeah, but you know what? He's been there, and to be honest with you, Peyton Manning in the playoffs has not been very good. Now you got a Peyton Manning who hasn't played going into the playoffs.
Coming off a bad foot. He gets an extra week to rest.
So they have the number one seed, and so if Pittsburgh wins, they'll play Pittsburgh because the Pittsburgh's the sixth seed. If Houston wins, they play Houston. If Cincinnati wins, then they'll play the winner of the Houston-Cincinnati Kansas City game.
I see the Broncos going down.
Really?
First week, yep.
No matter who they play, huh?
Write it down.
All three, it doesn't matter who
doesn't
they play.
Doesn't matter.
I'm going to write that down.
Write that down.
Right, Broncos.
Denver loses.
Who's your Super Bowl? Give me the Super Bowl matchup. Let's do a quick Super Bowl matchup.
Are we making the pick now, too? Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm taking Seattle, and I'm taking New England. I'm having a rematch.
A rematch? Tony, who you got?
I got Arizona.
And see, Tony picked Arizona last week.
Yep, I did. I'm going to go Arizona versus, the AFC. I got to go New England still.
It's hard. England doesn't have the weapons, though, right? I mean,
yeah, they got Tom Brady.
They got time
Gronk.
To get healthy.
Yeah.
They got time to get healthy now. The Edelman will be back, I bet you.
We'll find out starting this week.
Especially if Denver loses in that second round and they got to go to New England for the AFC title game, New England will be in the Super Bowl.
Yeah. We'll talk to you next week, guys. For Tony Boselli, Jeff Lagerman, and Joe Fortunato, this is JP Shadrick. This is Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.